to the Word of God together. Lord, I thank you for our friends, family here tonight. Lord, thank you for every soul. Lord, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And Lord, we ask tonight, Lord, for that anointing to be upon your Word in this service. Lord, we pray for that anointing in this place tonight. Lord, that you would do something in our lives, God, that we can't do for ourselves. Lord, that you would change us, that you would set us on that right path, that we would not be on that broad road to destruction, but Lord, that we would be safe and secure on that narrow path that leads to life. Lord, I pray for that anointing to preach and to teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing that we can hear and receive everything that the Spirit of God is speaking to us tonight. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, everybody says. Amen, amen, glory to God. Tonight, we're going to go into a message called Lasting Freedom. And what we want to look at tonight is God's plan and God's desire that his children not only access freedom, come on somebody, not only access freedom, but continue in freedom. Amen. You know that Jesus came to make you free? Amen. Amen. Jesus came to make you free, and a lot of times people don't even realize that they're bound. There was a time in my life that somebody told me I needed to quit doing this and I needed to quit doing that. I thought, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. I'm fine. And the whole time, I'm not fine. I'm broken. I'm lost. I'm hopeless. And yet, it was the light of God. Whenever the light of God shined, it made me realize I was in darkness. I never knew I was in spiritual darkness until the light of Jesus was seen by my soul. Amen. It was then and then only that I realized I've been in darkness my whole life. Glory to God. He's given me light. Glory to God. He's given me light. But you know, from that day to this day, amen. Now, that was an awesome victory when I saw the light. I once was in darkness, but now what? I'm in the light. It was a glorious time. But you know what's even more glorious? Day by day, Jesus walks with me. He talks with me. He leads me along life's narrow way. God guides us through life, giving us sustained victory every day. And this is a message that you're going to need to grab hold of. Lasting freedom. God wants you to live a victorious, free life over the power and dominion of sin. And one of the messages we're going to get into tonight begins in John chapter 8 as Jesus was in this passage. This is one of the most beautiful times where he declares his deity. He declares that he is the I am. Amen. But in this passage in John 8, we're going to begin in verse number 31. Well, let's begin in verse 30 for just a little bit of context. It says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Many of you know that there's a lot of people that when people say eloquent words and have great sermons, everybody's good with that. But you know, there's a place and a time where faith has to activate. Where we not only believe great words intellectually, where we not only believe that the spoken words are nice words, or we believe like words on a page, but where that belief has to take grip in our life. There has to become that time in our life that we're not only believing with a mental consent, where we're not only believing intellectually a theory, but we're coming to a place where it's a reality in our heart and in our soul. And this is where lasting freedom begins. Jesus was speaking and many believed on him. Jesus was not satisfied with that. He's going to get into the root and the issue of the matter in our lives. And so long as you're alive in the flesh, Jesus is going to continue to pry into your life because he cares for you. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings conviction in our life. He's the one that brings counsel and help and direction and power. He's the one that is prying all the time, leading us on the path that we need to be in. Somebody say, I don't know it all. You see, the Lord is able to see in that rearview mirror, in that blind spot in our life, and He's able to see deficiencies, and He's able to see things around the corner, and He's able to see where I don't or where I'm not willing to look. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? There's certain issues in our life we're not willing to look right there. Amen. It's a lot easier to look on the big thing. Well, I hadn't murdered nobody. I hadn't raped nobody. Yeah, but have you been prideful? Have you been angry? Have you been lustful? These are issues in God's eyes. Now, you may not go to jail for having pride or for being lustful, or you may not go to jail for these things, but that's in the eyes of men. But in the eyes of God, you're just as guilty. These are issues. These are serious issues. It says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. In verse number 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And all of us say, hallelujah, I want to be free. Amen. Nobody wants to be under the dominion of sin and under the dominion of darkness. But the key to the whole thing is the word if. Jesus said, if you continue. That is a condition that Jesus places on freedom. Nobody will ever have freedom in the Holy Ghost if they're not continuing in the word of God. If they're not continuing in what Jesus said. Amen. And I don't mean that you know it intellectually. I mean that you are participating with the word of God, obeying what it says and doing what he says. Amen. The Lord Jesus here is teaching us a foundational aspect to freedom. And that is, if you're going to be free, you're going to have to continue in what he says. You're going to have to continue this thing out. One of the things we see here is there's a condition. Now, there's three promises. You got to be his disciple. He said in this verse, he said, then are you my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's three promises. How many of you want to be a disciple? How many of you want to know the truth? How many of you want to be free? None of those things will matter if you don't continue. The promises are beautiful. I want to be his disciple. I want to know the truth. I want to be free from sin. I want to be free from the dominion of darkness. But none of those things will happen if I'm not continuing in his way. If I'm not continuing in his word. Notice what he says here, that this is a present reality, not a pretense. How many of y'all know what a pretense is? You know that theoretically what it means. I know in pretense how an airplane can fly, but I don't know, I don't know the exact aerodynamics, right? I didn't design it and make it do it. But you see, the difference here is God's not asking you to know something in pretense. He's asking you to continue and do it presently. There's got to be a present work in your life of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's always working. Jesus said that about the Father. He said, the Father's always working. Amen. The Spirit of God's always working. Because corruption is setting in children of God. Corruption is setting in the world. And so the Holy Spirit's working, and he's leading us into these paths of righteousness and truth. And it's a work of continuance that God's looking for in our life, that we presently are abiding in Christ. And I want to tell you, no matter how many victories you've had in the past, if you're not presently abiding in Christ, you won't be victorious. This is a condition that God has for victory. It is a present condition of your soul, bowing in subjection and humility to the King of Kings. What got you into the kingdom of God is that surrender to Jesus. And what keeps you in that right path is your focus remaining on Jesus Christ, that he died for you and that he rose from the dead on the third day. That's what keeps you in the place God wants you to be in. You don't have to learn Greek, Hebrew, or Latin. You don't have to learn apologetics. You just got to know Jesus. Can I get a witness? You just got to know Jesus. But notice something very important in this passage. This is something that always struck with me as I read this passage. Pride, how many of you know that pride makes somebody ignorant? I'm not just talking about our generation's view of pride. I mean, all pride makes people ignorant. Amen. Makes them ignorant. Look at this passage here in the next verse. As Jesus told the Jews this, now these are Jews that believe him. In verse 33, he says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? How many of y'all know he's talking to Jews? Can y'all think of a time that the Jews were in bondage? Can you think of a time that maybe the Jews were slaves? Over 400 years in Egypt. Abraham's seed. They were slaves in Egypt. And yet the ignorance of their pride made them say this outlandish statement that we're all here to look at and go, wow, how can they be that ignorant? But it's because pride blinds us. Pride blinds us. That's what it is. You see, the man or woman of God that is proud needs to know this, that God resists the proud. You want to see God work in somebody? Look for that spirit of humility. You want to see God not work in somebody? Look for that pride, that haughtiness. So one of the things I love to see is whenever people come to those altars and they begin to get on their knees and they begin to cry out to God. But you know what? You can live not only with coming to that altar like at the end of the service, but as one famous preacher said, even if you can't get on your knees in prayer, stay on your knees in your heart. It is about that keeping that spirit of humility about your life all the time, where you're subjecting yourself to the superiority of Jesus. And that's what God's looking for in our lives. If you want to find lasting freedom, this is the key. And this is a foundation, but I want you to know there's many people that have tasted freedom, but they don't know what it's like to have lasting freedom. They have a hit of freedom here. They have a touch of freedom there. They heard about freedom over here. They maybe had it 16 years ago. But there's something controlling their life today that's not Jesus. And that's what we're talking about tonight. They said that they were never in bondage. Many today have the same response. You want to talk to somebody about sin, and you'll usually get a response like that. I'm fine. How many of you know people like that? I'm fine. That's usually a sign you're not fine. I'm all right. I mean, I pay my taxes. I don't run red lights. I'm not out there shooting up drugs. I'm fine. Really? Really? Pride makes you ignorant. Pride will cause you to remember that you blew your top. That you just lost it, started slamming cabinet doors and throwing plates across the room. Maybe you didn't get that extreme. Maybe you just stomped your feet. Maybe you just slammed the door as you left for the day. See, anger and resentment and pride and bitterness and lust and envy, these are things that the natural eye doesn't see until it manifests its way out. And yet these are just as much sin issues. And just as much will these things keep you away from freedom. And until we get a heart of humility, until we come to the Lord without pride, when we lay pride down, when we lay down that wall and we say, Lord, if I'm wrong, correct me. I always tell people, if I'm going to hell, tell me. You better tell me if I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But that's the way that we have to approach the Lord. Lord, if there's something in me that's not right, please tell me. We have to come to the Lord with that openness and that transparency that the Lord can speak into our lives and direct us as He sees fit. Amen? He has to have that authority to be able to speak into your life to correct you. Amen. Correction is so beautiful. A lot of people today, though, they say, I'm not that bad. But as I said, any of these sins, bitterness, pride, envy, lust, anger, resentment, these things are just as soul-killing as any other sin. Amen. They will keep you in just as much bondage. But you know that God did not, as a Christian, God does not design you to live as a Christian under the dominion of sin. How many of you know that? How many of you feel like sin has had its way over you? It's had its way over you. In one way or another, the enemy don't stop. Amen. The flesh is still there. So turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. Let's look at this over here. Romans chapter number 6. I was sharing with my daughter the other day one of my favorite verses whenever I first got saved. That verse just stuck with me so strongly. It was one of the first ones I memorized as a Christian. It said, if you live in the Spirit, right? Let's also walk in the Spirit. But that one above that in verse number 17, that one is one of my favorites. It says, you know, that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How powerful is that? That's really the simplicity of the gospel right there. If you'll just begin to walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It won't happen. It won't happen. Here in Romans chapter 6, let's begin in verse number 12 tonight. Now, as a working definition of sin is something that God said you ought not do. It's a working definition, right? Textbook definition is transgression of the law. That's the textbook definition. You can find that one in 1 John. But the working one is just you doing something God said you ought not do. And in order for you to experience lasting freedom as a believer, you ought not do what God says you ought not do. Amen. And some of you may be saying like, well, what in the world have I done that preacher's preaching about this? It's because God wants you to have lasting freedom, not one-time freedom. God doesn't want the freedom in your life to be a mirage that you had in the past. God wants you to have a present victory. God wants you to have today victory over sin. God wants you to today walk victorious in Jesus. God doesn't want you to have the formality of the Christian walk. He doesn't want you to have the outward appearance of having Jesus in your life. But he wants you to have the present reality of the light of the glory of God on the inside, manifesting its way on the outside. He wants you to walk in victory because victory is birthed in the soul. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to have lasting freedom. Romans chapter 6 verse 12, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a second, but God's telling you to reckon your body as an instrument for God, not an instrument for the devil. See, whenever we get angry and we get prideful and we fall into lust or we fall into shame or we go into depression, we're taking the reign of our lives back into our own hands and doing what we want with our lives. But Jesus here is telling you to yield yourself as an instrument for God. So that means sometimes I may not feel like doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I do it anyways. Lord, I don't feel like this, but I know I need to do it. How many of you felt like praying at 3 in the morning? How many of you prayed anyways? You see, sometimes we get that call by the Holy Spirit to pray at 3 a.m. and we don't feel like praying. Lord, can I hit the snooze button 1 or 2 times? But the Holy Spirit says, no, get up and pray. Amen. You don't feel like it, but you do it. Amen. And as we walk this out with the Lord, one of the things that we want to see is that God wants us to yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness. That means I'm submitting and surrendering the rule and the reign of my life to Jesus. Use me as you see fit. Use me as you see fit. I say the story sometimes, but my first job as a Christian, as a Holy Spirit filled Christian, you know, my first job, and the Lord told me when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord told me I was going to be a pastor. Told me. But you know what? The first job I had as a new Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, assistant parking lot duty. You know, I didn't care. You know why? Because I'm just yielding my life to God. Lord, however you see fit. Somebody needs help doing this. Somebody needs help doing that. However you see fit, Lord, I will yield myself under your hand. However you see fit. And that's what the Lord's looking for in our lives daily. Right? Daily. Not just in activities, but inwardly. That inward work of God. Lord, you want me to pray more? You want me to read more? Lord, you want me to go evangelize across the street? How you see fit, lead me and guide me. Now, the end of this message is gonna really tie this together, because there's an important lesson at the very end of this that is crucial to lasting victory. This part right here, though, you've got to get. It says in the next verse, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." How many of you know when God says, "This shall not happen," right? You shall not pass. You shall not go, right? When God says, "Shall not," that means it ain't happening. And as a Christian, it says right here, sin shall not have dominion over you. Do you know that there's no sin? There's no act of vanity. There's no passion. There's no dark thing that can have dominion over a Christian. God has made it to where, as a blood-bought child of God, as a born-again, victorious Christian, God has made it to where you can walk in victory over fill in the blank. You can walk in victory over depression. You can walk in victory over the guilt of your past. You can walk in victory over an addiction. You can walk in victory over shame and regret. You can walk in victory over the wicked things in this world because you've been covered by the blood of Jesus, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And God is at work in your life. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, if in your life right now there's an area where the wicked forces of darkness are encroaching in your life, it's because you're not operating in lasting freedom. And that's why we want to bring this message to you tonight. God wants you to walk in victory. And it's a dangerous thing for you to fall into sin. It's a very dangerous thing. Your soul matters to God. He shed blood on the cross for you. A lot of people don't realize it cost the Father to send the Son. God didn't flippantly send the Son. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, this is the prized possession of heaven. And yet he came for you. He came for you. He came to make a way for you because you matter to him. And it's not a one-time act that he's looking at. It's an ongoing present reality in your life, that you have present today victory over sin. The day that you got saved, you gained victory over sin. But God wants you to operate and live in victory today. God doesn't want you to go back into darkness. God doesn't want you to live in a cave. God doesn't want you to live in shame and regret. God doesn't want you to live with clouded vision. God wants to open your eyes. God wants to give you new light to walk in daily. God wants to walk with you and abide with you and commune with you daily and give you victory in the present tense. A lot of people have victory in the past tense. Amen. Hey, I was a big sinner in my past, and I thank God that my past, I've got victory over my past. Can I get a witness? I thank God that I've got victory over my past. Amen. But you know what? I need victory in the present tense. Amen. I need victory in the present tense. So this lasting freedom and victory, now it's the same message. The same way I got victory yesterday, same way I get victory today. There's no step two to the gospel. The cross is the be-all, end-all of the gospel. The blood of Jesus is the gospel. That God shed his blood on an old rugged cross. Amen. That God loved you. He sought you and bought you on that cross. This is the be-all, end-all of the gospel. And the same gospel that saved me yesterday is the gospel that sustains me today. The same gospel that saved me yesterday sustains me today, and it keeps me for tomorrow. God never changes. The gospel never changes. The way never changes. Oh, but we do. Oh, but we change. Oh, we get tired of this and weary of that. We get bored with this and we get entertained by that. And the simplicity and the beauty of Jesus remains the same. And until we, as the children of God, lay aside that pride and vanity and allow the Spirit to do a work of humility in us and bring us back to the cross, we will forever walk without this freedom. This freedom that we're talking about in this message today is an inheritance that God gives to the believer. Amen. You can't do it on your own. Listen to this. In any area that sin resides, in any area that sin resides in you, that's an area that you're not continuing in Christ's word. You tie these two together. So Jesus said, if you're his disciple, you got to continue in that word. Right? So if there's sin in me, it's because I'm not continuing in something. Amen. You know, I know a minister. I know a minister. I say that word loosely. That talked a woman into leaving her husband so that he could marry her. I know this. There's certain verses of the Bible that man can't preach. Let's go from verse 22 to 32. Why are you skipping those passages? Because that man's avoiding continuing in the word. If listen to me, if there's any area in your life where sin resides, that's an area that you're not continuing in the word of Jesus. And that's a dangerous thing. We have got to allow the word of God to do what he needs to do in us. Amen? Now, this part I want you to get to. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is where we're going to bring this out. I want to show you this right here. Dominion, by the way. I talked about this. Dominion. It said that sin shall not have dominion over you. Some of you guys like definitions, and so we like to bring our definitions from the Webster's Dictionary so we can be all high tech. Dominion means the supreme governing power of your life. The supreme governing power of your life. Power to use as desired. You know that whenever sin comes into someone's life, that sin has power to do as it desires. If you don't think so, let somebody be singing zippity-doo-dah. If they've got a problem with anxiety or anger, let them be singing zippity-doo-dah and then let a car pull out in front of them and then go real slow. Right? Something will rise up in them, right? Something will rise up in them, and that sin issue will take control. And you better hope it don't go overboard. But you see, when we've got things in our soul that's not in check with the Spirit, when we've got these hidden places and hidden recesses where sin remains and it remains enthroned in certain places, these are all places that the devil can use and manipulate us. See, if you've got those places, how many of you know, if you've got those places in your life, the devil knows he can push that button. He can push that button. Oh, you think you're having a good day? He'll push that button. Amen. Sometimes I talk to people and they say, every time I feel like I'm taking one step forward, I take two steps back. What happened? More than likely, the enemy learned a button to push in you. He said, Pastor, what you talking about? You know, there's always an adversary. He's not the adversary for the lost. He's the adversary for the found. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's circling your life, studying you, looking for places that he can touch and manipulate. And these are the areas that God wants to give you lasting freedom in. Lasting freedom. Now let's look at the word in this passage here. It says in 2 Corinthians, are you in 2 Corinthians, by the way? Okay, good job. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's start with verse 12. It says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now, this is a bone I got to pick with some people, but you know, as ministers of the gospel, we don't need to use $5 words. We don't need to veil our speech. We don't need to speak in Greek and Latin. We don't need to go, up way up here. One of my favorite men of God was Billy Sunday. He said that his greatest desire was to make the gospel so plain that the man coming out of the factory could understand it. D.L. Moody was mocked by the philosophers and theologians of England as he went over there. They said, man, this man is so ignorant. He's so base. He's so vile. How could this be the man that God's using in America because he was so plain of speech? And then after the third night of preaching the same text, John 3:16, they had a breakthrough in that church. They were mocking this man because he was making the gospel so plain. He was bringing it down to the common man level. And you know what happened when the gospel got down to the common man level? Breakthrough. God broke through. And that's why D.L. Moody was used so much and Billy Sunday was used so much. And Paul here, he's talking about this. He said, you know, we have so much hope. We don't have to veil our words. God wants us to use plain speech. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Now he says this, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Speaking of the law. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. There's just a little bit of background right here before we continue. We got a couple more verses. But this veil, how many of you know that Moses had to put a veil on his face? Moses, when he went up and he went into where God was, his face began to shine. He began to get a glory about him. How many of you know that we need some of that glory in the church? Amen. How many of you know that you can tell when somebody's been with Jesus? Amen. You could tell when somebody's been with Jesus. They just got that glow about them. And Moses had been in the very presence of Jehovah, the great I am. And when Moses came down, his face was lit up brighter than a Christmas tree. And the people, the Jews, they began to say, oh, hold on, your face is too bright. There's something going on. He put a veil on. Now, different theologians have different interpretations of what this means, but it tells you that there's a separation. It wasn't time yet for God to dwell with man. There was still a separation because the blood atonement that would remove the stain of sin, that blood atonement of the Lamb of God had not been shed yet. So there was an anticipation. This is not, how many of you know you can't live forever with a veil on your face? It signifies that there's a separation between God and man. It signifies that you went somewhere where people don't go. It signifies something. And you see, this veil that Moses had over his face, it declared that he had been in the presence of God. How many of you know that's where you belong? That's where you belong. Amen? That's where you belong. Do you know that God came here to rescue you? Not to put you in a trophy case, but to live in you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that you now are the temple of God. How many of you know that God doesn't dwell in buildings made by hands anymore, but now he dwells in the temple of you, your body. He dwells in men. He dwells in women. He dwells in the church. The Spirit has come. Jesus even said that he and the Father would come and make their abode in you in John 15. Now, this veil that we're talking about here is a separation. It wasn't meant to remain. The veil represents something. And notice, this says that the veil is done away in Christ. That's the end of verse number 14. That veil remains until someone comes to Jesus. Jesus does what we can't do. And the veil that signifies there's a separation between a man and their God. How many of you know people that are separated from their God? That veil represents that separation. This is not Moses' veil. This is the representation of the veil. There's a lot of people that are veiled from the promises of God. We are surrounded by a generation that is veiled from the presence and the power and the promise of God. We live in a generation of people that don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know which bathroom to use. We have a generation of people that think it's okay to live in sin and to do all kinds of ungodly things. We live in a generation that is depraved. And it's growing more depraved by the day. They're parading ungodly things down the streets of America. We're seeing preachers imprisoned in America. We're seeing ungodliness begin to rise like we've never imagined in America. People are veiled from the presence, the power, and the promises of God. Yes, we know lots of people. We know them in our schools. We know them in our workplaces. We probably have some in our families that just don't have the presence of God. And until, listen, you can give this person all the books in the world, but until they turn their heart to Jesus, they're going to remain in darkness. What they've got to get is not the latest, greatest book. What they've got to get is down on their knees and cry out to Jesus and believe upon the Lord of glory. When they do that, light will come. The veil will be lifted. When they turn to Christ, the veil is no more. And he says, this part is good. He says in verse 15, it says, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. He's talking about the Jews there. Now, how many of you know there's not a veil on the eyes? Moses had to put a veil over the face. But the Holy Spirit is talking about a veil over the heart. We're talking about the nitty-gritty part here. This is what I mean. There's a lot of people that have a veil over the heart. There are certain people that they are veiled from the power, presence, and promises of God, and their heart has been covered. Their heart is separated from God. They are away from God, and they are on their own. And until they turn to Jesus, they're going to stay that way. This is one of my favorite things about the gospel is we don't have to change it. We don't have to compromise it. We don't have to water it down. That's why the church is in the mess it's in right now, because a lot of people watered it down. But you will never have lasting freedom over sin. You will never have lasting freedom over darkness until you turn back to the cross. Until you turn back to the work that Jesus did on the cross. That is the only place where the veil lifts. Notice that again in verse 14. It says the veil is done away in Christ. There's only one place where the veil of a man or a woman's heart can be lifted, and that's when they turn to Jesus. No other way. No other hope. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. It says in verse 15, even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. That's the issue. Verse 16 and 17. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. They may be, how many of you know people that are in a heap of a mess right now? How many of you know people that are in bondage right now? But the Word of God says, nevertheless, when they shall turn to God, the veil is going to be lifted. The veil is going to be lifted. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty comes not once a year. When Moses was instituting the law, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies one time a year. And he had to wear the priestly garments, and he had to take the proper bath, and he had to live a certain way. And he could only come in one time a year and place that sacrifice on that mercy seat. But now, with that veil lifted, we can not only come once a year, but this is what I want you to get, daily. Moment by moment, hour by hour. Issue by issue, tribulation by tribulation, sorrow by sorrow, we can go to the Lord daily, hourly, in every moment of our lives, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. This that I'm talking about right now is liberty over sin, liberty over the veil, liberty over the separation, liberty over the hindrance between you and God, victory. So God takes that veil out of the way. He took our sins and nailed them to the cross. He took that which was against you and moved it out of the way. So now you have liberty not to know about God intellectually, but you have liberty to come and commune with God daily. God has made a way. And the root of the issue, if you want to have lasting freedom in your life, you have to have daily communion in your life. This is what I'm talking about. If you want to have lasting victory, you need ongoing reality of communing with Jesus daily. This communing that God's talking about, He's made the way for you. There's liberty for the child of God. There's access. God has made access for you to know Him, not about Him, but know Him in reality, to know Him in intimately, to know Him and love Him and dwell with Him and He with you. This freedom that we're talking about, this liberty that we're talking about, is a lasting freedom and liberty that God has for you. Many people today, they don't live with this access. They don't live with this victory. They put God on a shelf or put God in a box until the next crisis comes. This, if you do that, you'll stay in perpetual defeat. You'll stay perpetually behind the eight ball. You'll always have that missing thing in your life. That spark plug that won't hit. You'll always have that. Until you come to this reality that when that veil was lifted, that was an invitation to you. See, whenever you turned to Jesus and you put your faith and your trust in the great I am, when you believed the gospel, God lifted the veil of separation between you and Him. God removed it. And when God removed that veil of separation between you and Him, it was an invitation. What once was separation is now invitation. And those of you in this church tonight, those of you, if you don't have lasting freedom and lasting victory in your life over sin, this is what you're missing. That veil was lifted not just to put your name in the roll in glory, but that veil was lifted so that you're no longer separated, but now you're invited in. Now that you can come into the very near presence of God and enjoy His presence daily. Those that are still veiled are unchanged, unforgiving, unloving, bitter and in bondage, those that are still veiled. But those that have had the veil lifted by turning and putting their faith in Jesus, those that have turned to the great I am, those that have turned in an act of humility, bowed the knee and confessed the name above all names, those are the ones, when the veil's been lifted, have accessed the Lord of glory. Jesus said this. He said that he is the great I am, didn't he? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He made a way for you into that very throne room. And one of the things that I want to close with tonight is, by the blood of Jesus that we have this access. It came with a cost. God's not inviting you just to a party and let you decide whether you want to come or not. This is about victory over sin. And let's not make any pretense about it. Sin kills. Sin separates. Sin destroys. The Word of God says in that same chapter we read earlier, the wages of sin is death. If you continue in sin, it will produce death in your life, death in your relationships, death in the power of God. You won't have victory. But it says, but when they turn, that veil will lift, no longer to be separated. I want to ask you tonight if there's an area of your life where you've been separated from God. It's not a new gospel, it's the same gospel. Turn to Jesus and the veil will lift. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that they need that veil lifted. It's incumbent upon us to make sure they know the gospel so that the veil can lift. But right now, God's zeroing in on you. God wants you to have lasting freedom. As we began this service, the first scripture I told you about, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Tonight, if you want to continue in the word, I want to ask you just to humble yourself before the Lord again. Turn to Jesus, and God will do what he needs to do in your life. Amen. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the truth of scripture tonight. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And Lord, we thank you, Lord,